You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Middle call! Baby, hey! Welcome back to Birthday Week here on the Ham Pod.
Happy 45th, guy. Happy 45th.
Thank you. Me and Brady.
Only one of you has a happy marriage, though. We think, you know, everyone gets to go inside the home.
Yeah, TMT's not outside my door, so you wouldn't know.
You never know.
We're probably 14 hours since our last podcast, I think, since our last live stream.
I'd bet on Alyssa being a better cook than Giselle. I don't have any proof on Giselle, but I would take Alyssa.
Probably. Not
at
as
about
rich.
A three
few,
to one
a
favorite.
Few bucks low compared, but
I'm just talking cook. I'm not talking
okay.
Resources.
Okay, for sure.
If you gave her the resources, could get ugly, you know, in a massive kitchen with unlimited and helpers too.
Yeah. I'd be 300 by the end of the year.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know, be hard to look like Tom.
That's professional chef. That's sometimes the professional chef can help you because it's nothing but just Chilean sea bass and. But I don't want Chilean sea bass.
No, who does?
What's up, everybody? Great to see you if you're here on YouTube. Like I said, it is Tuesday midday. We got off around 10:30, I think, on Monday night Pacific time, and we are back here midday Tuesday with another show. If you're watching this YouTube, great. Subscribe to our channel. Hit that like button. We appreciate that. Comment for the algo or comment with a real take. We appreciate that. We're going to have a mailbag coming up later in the week. So get in the Haberman and Middlecoff mailbag. The way you do that is you go to Apple Podcasts. You leave us a review. We appreciate 5 stars. Although, John, I got to tell you, when you see this week's mailbag, we are getting hammered right now in the star game.
Haters going to hate, bro.
You look like a 2007 Utah football recruit. 3 stars.
Yeah. We'll ask Alex Smith what happened. You know,
right.
ask, I can't think of any of their players in the late 2000s, but I'm sure they had some good ones.
Go with Eric Rowe. Eric Weddle.
Paul Kruger.
Paul Kruger. That's a good one. Star Lotulelei.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking Oregon, but that's Haloti. Same cousin Nata. Potential. Yeah.
Yeah. So it will be a birthday bag coming up. And yeah, I did put in the bag this week a Spotify review. Somebody DM'd me. They said, hey, look, I gave you guys 5 stars on Spotify, so we answered my question. And
I looked the other day. The pie chart used to be, I think, like 95% Apple podcasts. Yeah. You know, people listen on Apple. Mm-hmm. Spotify's gained a little market share. They're almost at double digits, almost at 10. So, you know, just keep swinging. You know, if you get to 9, 10, 12, I think their goal, you just get 20, 30%. You know, you're building a business.
Yeah, I mean, look, Apple's been at the game for a long time, right? It's still very, very early in the game.
Feels like they created the game.
They created the game. They did create the game. That's why there's, you know, that's why there's one platform that 92% of the people use.
What would we do if they're like, we're going to charge you 50 grand a year?
Like, well,
they kind of got a lot of us by the balls. Please take it easy on us.
We'd call Tito's. We'd be like, Tito's, we need a little more.
Yeah.
Sleep Number,
we need a little more.
ButcherBox, send them some knuckle meat. We are sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka, as it turns out, which is unofficially the sponsor of Birthday Week here on the Ham Podcast. Just turns out that both of us were born this week, and it just turns out that we both have plenty of Tito's on hand. So Tito's Handmade Vodka, it is America's original craft vodka. It creates so many of the official drinks of the Haberman and Middlecoff podcast. We did get a text from our guy, Devin, the other day. He said, our cans are in. We got our, you know, the cans that took the world by storm. The canned drink, the empties that you can make your own, take it on the course with you, whatever, have it on your Zoom, and enjoy. Tito'sVodka.com, too. So many great recipes for Halloween. So you can go check out the Tito's Vodka, John. Well, what else could you ask for?
Yeah. What we want you to do this week is, if you got, I'm sure you do, in your freezer, if you're out and about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whenever, Sunday afternoon watching the Niner game, have a Tito's and cheers Haberman Middlecoff birthday week. Just do this for Tito's. Do it for our parents for conceiving us and creating this podcast. Because without our birthdays and 9 months before when we were originally born in 1985 and 1984, this would never exist. So, and never would have led to one of the greatest partnerships we've ever seen with Tito's. I'm literally wearing a polo right now, Tito's. I have about 50 of them and I love them.
Yep. Tito's Handmade Vodka, John, bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly. Do me a favor. When you talk to your mom, ask her, because my mom the other day called me to tell me that when I was born, I had a big scowl on my face and I looked like I didn't want to be there, as if like I'm the only baby who came out with a scowl on his face. But
you know, you can lean a little negative.
That was a preview of my personality. So just ask your mom, what expression did you have on your face?
I was wrapped around. I wasn't breathing. I mean,
you're
I'm
a fighter.
Some say I'm a miracle baby. Fighter. Honestly, though, I had the thing wrapped around and I was,
got big.
Yeah, just, but I unwrapped it, I guess, as 0 years old. I unwrapped it and I said, hey, and I started waving at everybody.
You pulled out a knife and just cut.
I said, go Raiders.
It was somewhat symbolic of what you would encounter in the radio business some 31 years later or whatever it was, you know. I've been here. Somewhere deep down your body was like, I've been here before.
Yeah, survival mode, baby.
John against the world. So congrats to you. But nonetheless, after you.
Congrats to us on life, you know.
Ask your mom. And thanks to everybody out there, Tito's included. For helping us continue this endeavor. When it's your birthday, you start reflecting on things.
You do.
As always. And one thing I reflect on is how thankful I am for this. So thanks to everybody. Seriously, I'm wearing this promo code Ham Hat, which somebody suggested might have been your first words at the hospital. 10% off your overnight stay. Try that at the local hospital. We're also sponsored by ButcherBox, John.
This is good. You know?
Yeah, let's get on to the next piece of business. ButcherBox.com/ham. ButcherBox.com/ham. You can get free steak. You can get free lobster. Plus $10 off right now at ButcherBox.com/ham.
Yep, guy. You get free shipping in the continental U.S. No big deal. Listen, here's the thing with ButcherBox. You go there, you put together a box. Chicken, red meat, steaks, ground beef. They have lobsters. We've had ribs. You get it all, and you create it, and you get it sent to yourself. But before you do, you use the promo code HAM and ButcherBox.com/HAM to get a bunch of free stuff, because that's the key here, guy. You get free steaks, you get free lobster, and you get free knuckle meat.
Yeah, it's 10 from the lobster, the knuckle, two 10-ounce New York strip steaks and 8-ounce of lobster claw knuckle meat free in your first order, plus the $10 off. Just go to butcherbox.com/ham. And if you don't want to do all the picking, if you're like, it's too much decision-making, it paralyzes me, that's fine. They've got boxes pre-made, you know, kind of you can do the curated. Or I guess you can do the customized, or you can do the curated, which is the ones they already have kind of organized for you. It's all going to be an amazing value. So right now, butcherbox.com/ham, two 10-ounce New York strip steaks, 8 ounces of lobster claw, and knuckle meat for free in your first order, plus $10 off.
Do you think Kyle gave Sean McVay the knuckle sandwich last night?
Boy, I mean, knuckle sandwich, you're just thankful. Like, are the Rams the Niners slump buster, a.k.a. Mark Grace? Suspended from TV for talking about slum busters one time many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of are their slum buster, are they not? They really are. Without the Rams, if you would have told me last night was the Eagles or last night was Tampa, it just, I don't know if we're sitting here like this, you know, but you tell me it's the Rams. What did Alex Smith you say he said last night? Like, of course I'm picking the Niners. I've seen this movie before.
Yeah, Alex Smith said, I just saw this game on Monday. He said this before the game. I just saw this game last year on Monday Night Football. I'm going with the Niners.
Yeah.
And RG3 said, not so fast, my friend.
And Bob tried to say, hey, what did he say? The pupil has become the master?
Yeah, basically. The student.
Yeah, well, the student, it turns out, is still not quite the master. Kyle just kicks his ass.
Not a championship, though. So
does have a championship.
Beat him when it matters in the playoffs. Don't take anything away.
You said 7 of 8, right? The Niners. Would Kyle trade those 7 for the 1? And
you'd rather be 1 and 7 head to head, but the 1 was in the NFC Championship game to go on and win the championship. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, the majority of those wins, including a large percentage of the NFC Championship game, have looked very similar. Did you see? I Instagrammed it. They put the 3 pick-sixes side by side, 2 Stafford and 1 Goff on like outside throw where they picked it all off. No. They all ended up in the DB's hand. One was like a true pick. The others kind of were tipped. But they were all – the Niners have had 3 pick-sixes against the Rams in recent years on a similar kind of quick screeny play.
Wow. I did not see that, but I will go look for that.
And then I was telling you before, you know, you and I – your career was off and running, but when I got into talking, the Niners-Seattle rivalry was really in its heyday. And there was like a level of respect of just two dudes that like get inside the UFC, you know, the octagon. Once you're done, you just kind of like give the guy a nod. It's one guy's nose is pointing the other way, and the other guy that just won has a broken arm. And it's just like, we are two crazy motherfuckers. This is a crazy way of life. And while I'm a champion and you lost, I respect what just went down here for the last 12 minutes in this bad boy with Rogan with a microphone in my face. It felt a little bit like that with the Niners in Seattle. Remember, Richard Sherman, the turkey at the 50 happened after Harbaugh, like when the Niners became a joke. But when Jim was there, it felt like an all-out, just heavyweight brawl. And it wasn't that much like – everyone on the field knew at any moment anyone could have a leg shattered, concussion. I mean, it was just you on the edge of your seat physicality-wise, a little bit like previously the Ravens and Steelers, kind of in our collegiate years. Just a war, right? This feels unlike that, kind of the opposite, where the Niners consistently kind of mock those guys. And there's just kind of running element of this with Kyle and Sean, but it doesn't feel like their rivalry like it did with Jim and Pete and the team. It more feels like the Niners, I think they respect 99, but the rest of the team, like, is Richard constantly tweeting about Matt Stafford somewhat indicative of the way some of those guys feel as well? Like this whole thing, like these guys are fucking overrated, because clearly Richard feels in a weird way much closer to this Niner team and rooting them on than he does Seattle. Obviously, they have probably a higher ceiling, so it's easier to do, but like these are his guys.
I do think if we were to sidebar and Richard for a second, you know, Richard experienced a quarterback in, who, in his mind, got too much credit for being the quarterback. Richard had seen Kaepernick and Crabtree get a lot of love. And what did he tell Aaron Andrews? Don't test me with a, what do you say, a sorry-ass receiver?
Sorry-ass wide receiver, yeah.
Sorry-ass wide receiver like Crabtree. Richard, I think Stafford has never won anything. And got, I mean, up until last year, right?
I'm just Super Bowl champ. The mindset.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, like, has for a long time had this opinion that you know, he didn't have the right to all the credit he was getting. So I do think Richard probably fundamentally just leans that way. As a defensive player, the offensive guys get too much
way more credit. Money. Yeah, way, more yeah, credit.
Way more money, way more attention, way more love, all that kind of stuff. And you know, a cornerback gets beat once and we're like, God, he sucks. He's like, well, what about the other 50 snaps that I won on? What about those? Right. Easier to give credit to the guy who catches one touchdown pass and seven targets when he got shut down six other times. So maybe that's part of it. I think probably, you know, the one thing we have seen though, even though the rivalry in terms of the wins and losses isn't even, it does feel like last night there was a scuffle multiple times. Ramsey is just on edge. Bobby Wagner, I don't think is particularly liked by the 49ers players.
I felt like Ayuk threw his hat in the ring last night, right? Of like, yeah. Hey, motherfuckers, I'm here to stay.
Yep. Debo throws himself around.
Debo kind of mocked Jalen. Didn't know what he was doing.
Mocked Jimmy kind of – Jimmy, when Jalen – when Jalen knocked that like screen pass down, he started talking to Jimmy, and you could tell Jimmy was yapping back with him. So there is something there. Like, I think it's not Seattle, but
I'm not saying there's not like respect while the game's going on and it's physical and like people are getting lit up left and right, because it is. It has similarities to like a really good rivalry. I'm talking after the game, how openly they talk, how they don't respect them. That's a little unique to this rivalry that doesn't parallel the Niners-Seattle.
What was something in particular said that?
Well, Debo kind of made fun of Jalen Ramsey. It just feels like the last couple of years they've just the respect level. Like, I don't think they view them as good as us casually on the outside. I would say the league. I wonder if they deep down don't respect them quite as much as I think people would just assume they do as an opponent.
Maybe they think they're tougher.
They clearly are physically.
Yeah.
You know, over time, they shove them around.
It's hard when the other team has won the championship and you haven't, and they went through you to get it. Like, you
I know,
have
that's...
to give them some basic level. Well, I guess maybe we have to. They don't. Who am I to tell Brandon and I, you have to give them, who cares? That's not how it works.
Do you think the league would sign up for this to be like, I mean, last year, remember Monday Night Football was Rams, Arizona? They would sign up for Rams Niners as a playoff game, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, your NFC games, we'll see. I mean, Philly always rates. So Philly, even without anybody controversial.
Brady.
We'll see what the Bucks look like, what Brady looks like. You know, is it another run for Brady in the offing? Dallas, you would take it. Green Bay.
If me and you ran the NFL ratings-wise, what would you like the final four NFC, like the second week, right?
Yeah,
big weekend.
Niners, Eagles, Cowboys.
You think you'd go Eagles over like Rodgers?
Well, I don't know. I think the Eagles
I think you'd want Brady there.
All right. So you're either taking out Philly.
I think you take out Philly.
Who was Philly when Philly played on Monday night? Well, I guess it was Titans Bills on ESPN and Philly was on ABC, so that's
Vikings.
Yeah. So you go Green Bay, Tampa. Cuz I think there's something we'll see with Tampa. I think there's something with Philly that just feels like there is a buzz and a momentum that a new contender gets. And the question ultimately is like, now Green Bay could win this week and be 4-1. They play the Giants. Like, the Giants or the Packers are going to be 4-1.
I feel like my first two picks, I know Cowboys really rate, but it's like Rodgers, Brady are just picks.
Well, are the Niners in the four?
I mean, Dallas would probably have to be in the four because of the brand. But if you said Niners, Rams, Brady Rodgers,
that would also
intermix them all. I think you can't lose.
Yeah, I agree that you can't lose. I think the question is, would Philadelphia outrate one of those teams? I think they might.
We might find out, because I think they are on the path to be the number one seed. And we know now the number one seed is the only team that gets a bye.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're three or four wins away. They get to 8-9-0. It's going to be hard for these other teams. Right. if you had to guess right now, what's going to win the NFC West? 11?
Two teams are 2-2. Plus,
they're all 2-2.
Cardinals are 2-2, and they play. They play Philly this week, right?
But I'm just talking about watching all four of them. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a 12-5 team as much.
Yeah, 11.
You convinced 11. Me there might be a tie at 10. I don't think it's inconceivable. They all got some flaws. They all got some issues.
Well, it's not, 2019 when the Niners started. What did they start that year? 6-9-0? Were they 9-0 to start the year?
Yeah, I mean, they went 13-3 and they had to win the final game to win the division.
Yeah, and there were two other 13-3 teams, and Seattle was 11-5, but it was almost 12-4. If Seattle had won, they'd have been 12-4. You'd have been 12-4. They'd have won the division.
They pitched twice, yeah.
Right. So, like, that was a year where it was stacked. Minnesota won 10 games that year. But you're right. Back to the, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to your original point, like if Monday Night Football again on October 3rd had been at Philly, because you just made me think, like, what happens if the Niners are going to Philadelphia in the playoffs?
Tough place to play.
Well, just tough place to play. But just think about Jalen Hurts, trying to corral Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown and Devontae, right? They're really dangerous.
Goddard's a really good tight end. Miles Sanders is a good running back. But to me, I feel better about the defense being able to neutralize them. Their defensive line is fantastic. Trent Williams better be healthy, and McGlinchey better figure some stuff out.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think you're holding them to 9 points.
Oh, no.
You're not getting the Packer game last year. You're not getting the Rams game Monday night. Like, that team is just really too good on offense.
Yeah.
So... let's talk about it real quick here. Look, here we go. You sent me this last night. Here are your NFC standings. Philly 4-0, Minnesota 3-1, Tampa 2-2, Niners 4 seed 2-2, Dallas 3-1, Giants 3-1, Packers 3-1. Those are your top seven. Then the Rams are 2-2. And they are the AC.
I forgot Minnesota beat Green Bay first week of the season.
Yeah, how about them being 3-1? And how about the Giants? So you figure the Giants will fall out of there. I mean, the question is, it doesn't feel like there's going to be three NFC teams vying for playoff contention. We'll see. If the Cardinals win this week, you'll have to take them seriously. But of the teams that are not in right now, Dallas is not in.
Well, I think the two locks to stay.
Go ahead.
The two locks to stay is... Tampa's winning that division, right? They are going to be a top 4 seed. I don't know what their overall record is going to be. You convince me it's 10-7 because they cruise. You convince me because their division they get to 12, but they're winning that division. So they're going to be, one of the top 4 teams. And Philly, to me, is winning that division. Now, I could look like an idiot if, Dallas beats the Rams and they just keep winning games. Like, it'll be kind of one of those Seattle Niner thing. Like, it's just going to be how they play against the Eagles, right? And last year, they did sweep the Eagles. And if you remember, Jalen Hurts on a Monday night game in Dallas played fucking putrid. So that's, I think Dallas is just thinking, we just got to maintain, sustain with the Eagles, and then we play them twice, right?
You're right. Dallas has to feel really, really good. They got a shot if they win.
Their defense is fantastic right now.
I mean, they're 3-0 with their backup quarterback.
They have, like, Nick Bosa feels like the defensive player of the year, and Micah Parsons feels like the defensive player of the year. So when you have that and you can kind of build around that, you just cause havoc. I kind of like Dallas this weekend against the Rams.
Against the Rams. That game's in LA.
You think the Rams are a lock playoff team?
The thing with the NFC is it's just, here are the teams not in the playoffs right now. Rams, Cardinals, Falcons, Seahawks, Bears. Then there's the Panthers, the Saints, the Lions, and Washington. Well, who's better, the Rams or the Giants? The Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
Who's better,
the Rams? But that's not the way it always works. I mean,
it's not the way it always works, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't use the word lock necessarily. If they lose this week and go to 2-3, but to me, they're clearly one of the best 7 teams in the NFC.
I agree, but they're scheduled because the division plays NFC West. Like, they got the Niners coming up again in a couple weeks. Then they got Tampa. Then they play the Chiefs. Then they got Vegas. Then they play Green Bay. Then they play the Chargers. They just got a lot of hard games that, like, how are the Rams going to block Chris Jones and Khalil Mack and
But how many teams are really going to run away to the point that the Rams aren't going to be in this thing week 15, 16, 17, 18?
I guess my point is it's going to be a little harder. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm with you. They should make it. They have one of the best coaches. They still have really good players. But when your offensive line is that shitty, and their offense, I listened to a little bit of McVay talking. Like, their offense has been really, really bad this year, you know, for their standards and what they're paying some guys, right? I mean, they have a $40-plus million quarterback. They got a $28 million wide receiver. I mean, Allen Robinson makes a lot of cash. You know, they drafted running backs high. Tutu was a bust.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, he sucks.
They gave the ball to the other guy from Texas.
So they got issues.
They do have issues. They do. And when you watch them, to watch them is to realize how great Cooper Kupp is for them, because he is clearly the best player they have on offense by a wide margin.
Well, like Tampa, right, against the Chiefs, kind of got worked. But I saw, did you see the stat? The NBC put it up. Brady, when scoring 31 points, was like 125 and fought four. Like, he's never lose. And you just go, their defense is really good. Who's going to smoke them like Andy and Mahomes? That's probably an 11-win team with ease.
And like you said, Andy and Mahomes really wanted that game.
Really, really bad.
Tom does have more time for hashtag film study.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Tom spotted out and about with like Leo.
Oh, what was Leo's group called? The Pussy Posse. That was like Leo and Tobey Maguire. I guess they made a movie. I didn't realize this. Somebody sent me a Leo article a few weeks ago. Leo and that crew with Toby and a few other guys, they made a movie in the 90s. I don't remember what it was called. It was like
Gangs of New York?
No. They made a movie that they, after they saw it, got like a legal injunction to prevent its release because it made them look bad. They didn't like the way it made them look.
What are they doing, chasing chicks?
Yeah, I mean, it's just them acting apparently like the way everyone says they just act in real life.
So they were just being themselves?
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie. I think there's some way through like some freedom of something, you can get a download link to it somehow, blah, 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 blah. But like the guy who made the movie has been banned from releasing the movie.
I'd check that out.
Yeah, I want to find it. But they're all young. Like, it was made in the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with the standings, but oh, that was a Brady sidebar. Anyway, the Niners win one game. They're right back in that thing. So,
oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high-quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Check this out. This is Chris Biederman. Our buddy Chris wrote this today. I tweeted this. Nick Bosa's approach to the game is considered pretty unique in Niners HQ, but Kyle Shanahan just mentioned that Bosa's mentality, mentioned Bosa's mentality when asked about Talanoa Hufanga, saying their approaches are similar. Shanahan's not a hyperbole guy, so for him to throw that out feels pretty notable. And then Matt Barrows posted the next gen stats. Hufanga reached 21 miles per hour during his interception, faster than any Niner ball carrier this year. Jeff Wilson on his touchdown was 20.8 miles per hour, tops for a Niners offensive player. And somebody tweeted at us, JR tweeted at us, 40 times or close to worthless, finally. And while I know you don't love necessarily that perspective, I do think it gives us a chance to talk about a guy who we talked about a little bit on Monday night for just his natural kind of feel. And I don't know, maybe his physical talents are better than people realized, but he clearly is one of their key. He is becoming irreplaceable on their defense.
Well, we told the story during training camp about Drake Jackson and Hufanga talking to someone at Niners camp in their front office about, you know, over the Clay Helton era when they lost a lot of games. Naturally, when you scout players in losing environments, it can be kind of negative. Everyone's losing. You know, it's not a healthy environment. Like you go into Alabama, you go into Ohio State, you go into Georgia. If they are negatively speaking upon you, that's a bad thing because everything's positive, right? You're winning, you're champions, you're competing for championships. Everyone's going to the league. It's a focused area. That was the opposite of the Clay Helton era. And as the guy explained to me, the difference of like Drake Jackson, who kind of just fell under the category of basically everyone in the program, where it was hard to kind of get to the bottom of everything. It was like there wasn't a soul, no matter how many games they lost, that didn't swear by Hufanga. Basically, the way he described it, he rose above it all, which is very rare. And that was – it's pretty crazy watching USC right now under Lincoln, just how impressive, like, they feel where they're going, you know?
Yep.
It's clear, like, how different it just was. And he just said, like, nobody. You couldn't find a human being in the building, no matter how ugly a day, no matter how ugly a game, no matter who just got fired, who had a negative thing to say about Talanoa Hufanga. And I think he's representing that since he's been here as just a guy who came in. One, when you're a late round draft pick, you're not guaranteed shit. You're not guaranteed to make the team. Now, clearly he had backers on the team, right? I think it's fair to say the head coach and the general manager really liked the player. He fits a lot of things that they look for. Physical from John, just safety, willing to fucking knock you out. And then Kyle, serious, focus, also physical player. Like they clearly have a type. And but then you got to take advantage. Like, even if coaches are rooting for you and giving you some opportunities, you do got to take advantage of them. And this guy has beyond ran with them. Because last year, he's a role player, right? Special teams, hitting people, came in occasionally, made some big plays, then has one of the most historic fumble recoveries in the history of the franchise. And this year, I don't want to say handed a starting spot, because he had kind of earned it. It had opened up that way. But then once the games come, you do got to play well. And he's fucking dominated, guy. I mean, he has stood out on a defense full of guys standing out. That's what's crazy. Like, yeah, to stand out on this defense, it's difficult. And he has, I mean, he's one of their better draft picks, it feels like. And it's so early in his career, but I don't want to go this far yet. But you remember Kittle, by about year two, it was like, God, they hit a home run here with a fifth round pick. He's kind of got that vibe of a six-round pick, doesn't he?
Yeah, it goes from, oh, they got some good depth with this guy, good value, to, oh, okay, they've got a start, they've got a solid starter, to, oh, they've got a key part of their defense, to, do they just have one of the best? Because if he's healthy, he's going to be playing this year on one of the best defenses in the NFL, which means there will be opportunities to make plays all over the field. And then you just start making plays, and you start making more plays. I mean, you look back at him, Johnny was a first-team All-American. First-team All-American, which college football, you have to be a first-team All-American to qualify for the College Football Hall of Fame. You can't be a College Football Hall of Famer if you were not a first-team All-American during your college career. So it's a very, I mean, it's a significant honor. Now, it doesn't guarantee you any pro success. We know that. He was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And you know, he got drafted by a team that values that league. We see a lot of teams on the West Coast. It does feel, I don't know if the numbers reflect this, like the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, like guys from Utah, from Washington, from USC.
So much easier for your scouts, your GM to see him, right?
Maybe it's that. So they just, I think you said it. He is such a fit from a personality standpoint with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Like, I saw Eric Crocker today tweeted, like, how is it that Kyle Shanahan's an offensive genius and yet he's got a defensive team? And that's kind of what his tweet was. He got into more specifics, but that's how I remember it. And my response, kind of kidding, was because Kyle Shanahan deep down wishes he was a middle linebacker and not a wide receiver, right? Like, deep down, even though Kyle gets kind of this boy genius offensive play caller thing, at his core belief about football is it's about hitting other people hard. Not about running by them or jumping over them. His core belief is it's about being stronger and pushing people. And so, you know, I think sometimes offensive coaches put all of their effort and their attention into having a fun or a great or a high-scoring offense. And a lot of the credit goes to the players they have and to the player evaluations, Adam Peters and John Lynch, and obviously having good coordinators like Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans. But you do get what you emphasize. And clearly Kyle Shanahan, you know, some offensive coaches, you watch their teams and you go, well, they're getting what they emphasize. And what they emphasize is kind of flashy. When you watch Kyle, I don't think it's I do think he gets some credit. What he emphasizes clearly is smart, physical, no bullshit, tough nose defense. And everyone says that's what they want a team to be. But they clearly puts his draft capital where his mouth is, right? Like, they draft defensive players a lot. And not just flashy guys. Well,
who are his favorite players on this team on offense? George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel. All physical ass kickers. Like, he's not really in. Like, would you say Andy Reid's one of the rare former offensive linemen who wishes he was a wide receiver? But like, when I say, what do you think of Andy Reid, right? You think DeSean Jackson, Tyreek Hill, Shady McCoy.
That's
even like
point.
They draft Clyde in the first round. Like, you know what? You said last week Kelsey's plays a different position than Kittle.
Yeah, yeah. Think about it though. With Andy, Andy is a kid who grew up shooting threes, but then was the biggest player, so they put him at center. Andy, punt. How many offensive linemen in the NFL today participate in the punt, pass, and kick competition?
He loved it. He wanted to be a punter.
That's what he wanted to be. And they're like, "No, you go over there with the big guys." He's like, "No, I'm a quarterback." And
he's a little guy stuck in a big guy's body.
Exactly. So that's kind of Shanahan in that way too. But anyway, I mean, maybe they have a feel for field. You scouted players in the NFL. You scouted college players. I think one of the questions I would have then
for people who evaluated like you did is how do you evaluate a player's feel, right? Because that is the thing. When we talk about look how fast he ran in the game versus how fast he ran at the combine, what we're talking about is somebody who plays in a way that is different than how they appear on paper, right? So we're talking about scouting the games versus the traits.
I think the problem with him was he ran a 4.64. And in college, he was not playing in space, right? He was up at the line of scrimmage a lot, like he is now. But he weighed 200 pounds. So maybe he could play linebacker, right? He was never going to play linebacker. And people just hadn't seen him play in space. And really, they don't ask him to cover half the field, right? He is up around the line of scrimmage. He is around tight ends. He is, you know, triggering on wheel routes to running backs. Like, they are not asking him to play like their other safeties, like Jimmy Ward does. So to me, when you get a guy, you have to go, we have a plan to use this guy, because I see a lot people overthought it and 40 times don't matter. No, 40 times help determine your value. The NFL draft is a marketplace. It's not his market value at the time. Like, if he's a $300,000 home, you're not going to pay $1 million for him. Everyone acknowledged he's somewhere between a fifth and seventh round pick. So it's easy to go, he should have gone in the second round. Well, at the time coming to the draft, there wasn't a soul in the league that thought he should be a top 75 pick. So you drafting him that high would be insane, because you can get other players before you get him. That's where the post conversation becomes kind of weird. I do understand, though. I remember him coming out and early on talking to friends last year of like, what was his deal? And they just said they couldn't find a position. They didn't think he could play safety. And a lot of teams do not have the safety near the line of scrimmage. The safeties are back. So they basically, you have to be able to truly cover. And the one thing we can say about Hufanga is the Niners are not asking him to just man up with guys in the open field or play in space. When I look at the screen, 29 is up around the line of scrimmage, or at least around Fred and Greenlaw, right? He is not back with Odom or when Jimmy's playing. He's not going to be back there. Now, occasionally he will, depending on the coverage, like back pedal, but they are using him correctly. Part of hitting on players, like George Kittle's value, why he became such a star, is the Niners' fucking run game. Immediately they asked him to block, he dominated blocking. Like, you got to ask the guys to do the right thing, and that's what I think they've hit on a lot of random guys is because they specifically ask them to do what they're good at, right?
Which is coaching, right? Don't put a square peg in a round hole.
No, and I think it's easy. That's why a lot of coaches are bad, not because they don't know exactly what they want out of their offense or defense. It's because when they get involved in the draft process, they fall for a guy that actually doesn't work with what they're going to ask him to do, and then they get frustrated once the guy's on the team. And it's happened to Kyle. I mean, it happened to every coach or GM, right? You draft a guy and he doesn't fit. But I think the Niners, why they've been able to replenish so many guys, is they found fits.
Yeah. You know, you made me think of when you're talking about draft value, it's what is success for a professional better? 55% or whatever the number is, 54.6%, right? Whatever the number is, right? That's what it takes for a professional better, the percentage of his bets to hit to be a successful better. Think about that. If, you know, that's 45% misses, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Right. I mean, like, you just are going to the fifth rounder who succeeds is not unheard of. Somebody in the fifth round is going to succeed, right? It's not like everybody who's a fifth round is a guy that nobody thinks can play.
But I just think part people struggle with once a guy becomes a good player, like this guy, how Cam Chancellor, for example, is probably the best quote unquote box safety of his generation. He was a fifth round pick. Like, you don't need to get the sweet box safety in the second round. That's just not where those guys are going.
Here, let me read you some of this, because this is all, here's the NFL. This is the...
It's Lance Zierlein writes this up.
Zierlein and Chad Reuter. But strengths. And these are, I'll read you the strengths and the weaknesses, and they'll all sound like they're the same thing. Has the size of a box safety. Eye-popping production in the 2020 season. Forces blockers to account for him near the line of scrimmage. Rarely false steps when reading and reacting to the play. Okay, so maybe that's an example. Maybe he plays a little quicker than he is because he doesn't take a false step. Flows to the football with good leverage. Shows ability to dip under O-line blocks. Comes to balance and drives hips through contact. Hammers anything in front of him from split safety. Good pattern reading off from the slot. Proper angles when tackling after the catch, limiting yak. Okay, weaknesses. Now, these are all very similar. Broke his right collarbone twice and dislocated the shoulder on the same side.
Well, why would that happen?
Suffered a concussion in 2019. Durability will be a major concern due to aggressive style. So this is Deebo Samuel at safety. Athletic limitations could make him scheme dependent. Overly concerned, looking for misdirection, gets behind on the play. Maybe that's just teaching.
Well, here's an example. Hufanga in the scouting report at USC was 199 pounds. I don't know exactly what he played at USC, but when he got to the combine after his, it must have been his.
Wait, he was 199 pounds when he got to the combine?
Yep.
That's crazy.
You know what Cam Chancellor was coming out of college?
What?
230 pounds.
Yeah. I wonder what Hufanga now looks like. He's 220.
So think. Five? So
what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, maybe 215. He's just. I mean, Cam was really, really big, but I do think it's fair to go. This is how the guy's going to play. Will it hold? Like, he's already shattered collarbones and got a concussion. He's not going to play differently. Will that hold up in the NFL? And maybe the NFL players well, the Niners aren't quite as big.
The Niners' attitude is, well, let's see. If he only lasts 2 years, then that's what happens, right? That's how they play their guys.
He had multiple broken collarbones?
Multiple broken collarbones and a dislocated shoulder on the same side as the broken collarbones. Now, I don't know if that's three injuries or two, but will struggle to carry vertical routes down the field, sees breaks coming but can't burst to cover them, doesn't gain depth quickly enough with his pedal and swerve. A source tells us, said a scouting director for an NFC team, you don't think he should be able to make so many plays, but there he is all the time near the ball. The injuries are a concern, though, and I think it pushes him down to the third day. So, you know, it's interesting. We've not really talked about his college injuries.
I didn't realize he was injured so much.
It's probably not something we realized since, you know, when he was drafted, we probably read the scouting report and forgot about it. But maybe he would have been drafted higher if not for all.
Yeah, I think a healthy, same player probably goes, you know, has a chance to go third, fourth. I mean, guy, those are major, multiple broken collarbones and a concussion. I just think you go, could this guy immediately get injured? Because that's how he's going to play. To me, if he's uninjured, he probably goes 100 spots higher than that. Because it was clear, right? Everyone's saying the same shit. The Niners said the same stuff. People I talked to said the same. No one disputed, like, the guy couldn't play. You know, sometimes, like, I just don't see it. You know, it's like a lot of hype on this guy. Everyone's like, yeah, you turn on the tape, 15 makes every other tackle, and he crushes people. The only question is, like, and then he'll shatter his collarbone. You know, I mean, that's somewhat concerning, right? If you have foot issues as a wide receiver, right, that there are certain injuries for certain type players that would just make you nervous. I would say shoulders with big hitters.
Honestly, foot with anybody.
Foot with everybody.
I'm nervous
for
Armstead right now with plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, it's a problem. Knee with Kinlaw?
Knee with Kinlaw. Absolutely. John, the Panthers are coming up this week for the 49ers, who, by the way, the 49ers, I told you this before the pod, so I won't make you pretend to guess again. Second best point differential in the NFC right now. Go figure that one. I don't think you would have expected that, but they're not giving up points. Here's how few points they're giving up. Eric Branch with this nugget. The Niners are allowing 3.81 yards per play, which would be the lowest figure in the NFL since 1977. I'm pretty sure Dandy Don Meredith was calling Monday Night Football games in 1977. I know you like Troy singing on Monday night. The Panthers, the Niners' next opponent, are ranked 32nd in the NFL in total offense. So two things to consider. Big picture, lowest yards per play in the league since 77. Middlecoff's birth year. Kidding. And the Panthers are a bad offense.
You think Namath had a Namath cast in 1977?
Hey, what's up? Call now. Check your zip code. See if you qualify. Medicare is for you. Don't leave your money to the government.
Do you think this ensures... I mean, it felt like he had a ton of momentum just coming into the season before the Niners defense is probably even better than expected. D'Amico to be a head coach. Or is there always an uphill battle when it comes to defensive coaches?
Well, I just think the short answer is yes. He is going to be a head coach. And it feels like if you asked me to bet, I would bet he will be a head coach in 2023. We saw with Saleh, you probably could have bet he'd be a head coach the year before he actually became a head coach, right? And it might be, you know, D'Amico, if they have a great year and they've got the number one defense and he's got a bunch of these guys coming back, he might be in a position kind of like Leftwich, where he didn't have to take a job. He had a pretty good job going, right? Byron didn't have to take a job. It felt like he can wait, and Byron Leftwich will become a
head coach. Well, he said no unless Balky gets fired.
Yeah, right. So I think D'Amico will be similar. Should have bet on Balky. I mean, look at what this team he's put together.
Doug's like, yeah, I'll work with a guy.
I think D'Amico. Now, here's a question. Is this the game that D'Amico shows the Panthers owner that this should be his next coach? Does D'Amico get the Panthers job this week, holding Baker to 6 points?
That is a good thought. I do wonder, do you think Tepper, after giving Rule a ton of money, even though it's like a ton of money, Rule was making a ton of money. That was just the cost of acquisition, is less likely to go splashy? Or when you're that rich, kind of, you know, Steve Cohen with the Mets, like, I'm just going to try to hire the best coach. Like, expenses aren't an issue for me.
I don't think anybody in football, like we talked about last night, Wisconsin didn't just pay Paul Christ $11 million to go away, and then now they're going to have to go cheap on the next guy. They're going to pay even more money for the next guy. Nobody's spending less on coaches. They're spending more. Like, I saw somebody like, Mel Tucker got $90 million. I don't know, teams are going to back off from that. No, they're not. No, they're not. The 80s haven't changed. Jimmy Sexton hasn't changed. The market has not changed. And the TV dollars are only going up. Same in the NFL. These guys are paying more for teams. Well, you pay more for a team. Does that mean you're going to save money on the coach or spend more money on the coach? You don't buy a Porsche and then put cheap tires on it because you spent all your money on your car. You spend more money on your tires. He's going to spend more money on his coach. I don't know why anybody – people always wonder, like, are they going to spend less on coaches now? No. I mean, the Raiders might, maybe, but they didn't. Even the Raiders didn't. They spent all that money on Gruden. It didn't work, and they just went and got Josh, who I don't know what he's making, but it's not cheap. He's not cheap.
Well, he was making like $5 million to be the offensive coordinator. So I would guess – if I had to guess, Josh making $10 million. I mean, I think Josh makes a lot of money.
Panthers might be a good job. You get a new quarterback, good defensive talent.
Yeah, good people like living in Charlotte. The only thing I think, do you remember when the Browns were interviewing Saleh and Stefanski, and then they played and Saleh punked Stefanski, and I was like, oh, Saleh just got the job. Playoff game, punked the guy. The guy was like, it was mano y mano. And it was really, he was the offensive coordinator, Saleh defensive coordinator, and Saleh in the defense fucking destroyed Kirk Cousins. And then Stefanski got the job. So it's a cool talking point, but one game does not. Now this new owner, I would say it feels it'll be a fun thing to say the potential, and I would imagine if they fire Rule, which Rule's in major trouble if he loses this game, like to get fired before Halloween because he's headed 1-4, then he's 1-5, and it just get ugly fast, and their offense sucks, and they're probably going to get punked by D'Amico. Like, there is a decent chance the final score of this game is like 23-3. I mean, Baker Mayfield has been atrocious, and this defense is going to be licking their lips if they can get back up for the game like they just did, which is always a little difficult, but I don't think that guarantees anything in this kind of world.
No,
we've seen it before.
I agree with that.
I bet that's talked about. People are on Twitter like he's auditioning. And not that he's not. It's not like you would always want to show potential employers how talented you are at the job. But like, would Vance Joseph, did he just audition for the, he just punked Baker. Like, a lot of people are punking Baker.
Now, by the way, I'm going to show you a photo. For those of you listening to the podcast, I'll describe the photo. It's a coach. It's a white man with a beard and a hat, and he's pointing. He's wearing a Bills hoodie and a Bills hat, and he's talking to a player on the Bills wearing a red jersey. The last name is Smith, and he's wearing the number 6. Do you know who this coach is?
LSU guy.
It's Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, who not that long ago was about to be an NFL head coach. And was the Panthers.
The difference, though, is guy.
No, I'm not comparing him to D'Amico at all. Totally different. I agree. I'm just saying this guy was – it would change us really fast. He was the OC for the Panthers. He got fired after. Did he even last the full year as OC?
Yeah, he got one full year, and then he lasted like half the next year.
He's the QB coach of the Bills now. Now you're right. He's not. D'Amico is
But you get locked. I would say this, you get derailed, like thrown off the tracks. But think about that. Is Ken Dorsey, I was thinking about when Ken Dorsey freaked out, and then I started Googling Ken Dorsey, and you realize this guy has been in the football vernacular now for basically two decades, right? As obviously the starting quarterback on one of the best college teams we've ever seen, middle of the road NFL backup type, but then goes into coaching, and now he's the offensive coordinator for a superstar. So is Ken Dorsey interviewing for jobs this year?
Yeah.
Decent chance, right?
Yeah.
If you had to bet, is Ken Dorsey a head coach within the next year or two? Typically the way it works, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Assuming, I'm just going to assume quarterback, high-level guy, impressive. The Dougs, the Frank Reichs, like the former backup quarterbacks who then are good with offense are, I would imagine, are pretty impressive. We've met our fair share of just middle-of-the-road quarterbacks. They look the part walking in. They have a resume of coaching. If they've coached a high-level guy, they're usually impressive. They're guys. They're good looking. They just kind of got it. You know, there's a reason a lot of people want to be quarterbacks and a lot of women want to be with quarterbacks. There's just something about them. So think about this. Let's just hypothetically say Ken Dorsey gets a job this year somehow. The Bills are awesome. He gets a job. What if Joe Brady's the next coordinator? Then all of a sudden in 2 years, right, Joe Brady's stock is back up and he's a head coach.
Yeah. I'm just
part of being a good head coach, part of getting the opportunity as a quarterback, typically you got to be around good players. And I'm not saying Joe Brady might be a fraud. Who knows? I don't know much about him, but like, doesn't feel like anyone's having success in Carolina.
No. I got to tell you about the Eufy video lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy video lock and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, video lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look, I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
They don't have quarterback. I just eyeballed it real quick. You could make the case that there will be 10 to 11, which would be high openings.
No, that feels way high.
Well, I know. I'm just saying you can, if we went through all 32 right now, which you could, I said, you think maybe you'd say yes, maybe to like 10 or 11 teams, just looking at it real quick. So
I think the average is like 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I know. Well, here, I'll just. Washington, New Orleans, Carolina, Arizona, Dallas, although Dallas feels like maybe not, but there's five.
I would bet against Arizona. Okay, I mean, he just paid them a lot of money.
Let me just give you the – so Indy, Denver, the Chargers, the Jets, Baltimore maybe if something happened with Harbaugh, that's 10.
It's all 2-2.
I know. And Miami if the league – bans Mike McDaniel would be 11. So there's 10. And you're right. You can argue against three or four of them pretty easily. So maybe it's 6-7. But that's a lot of jobs that DeMeco will be one of the better candidates for.
You know, the Dolphins just made up rules. Like, they're just clearly the league said you can't play them. Like, no team, if a guy is just in the concussion protocol, just says, yeah, he's in the protocol. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, what if Tua passes out of the protocol Wednesday? There's like, he's out. Like, so you guys are just acknowledging that makes it look worse on that Sunday game, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw last night on halftime, Schefter was like, obviously, Tua's out this week. And I'm like, obviously what? What do you mean obviously? Why is it obvious? I mean, we all think he's out, but so maybe that's what he means. But like the week before, I would have said, obviously, he's out this week. And then he came back into the game. Wow. So anyway, there's that. We weren't going to talk about DeMeco necessarily, but we can't talk about just this game too with, again, I'll just use the stat again, 3.8 yards per play, lowest in 77. The Panthers are not good on offense.
I watched the Arizona Carolina game on Sunday. Carolina's offense is putrid. I mean, Baker really looks terrible. I've always liked DJ Moore. I think he's good. I had a buddy once compare him to, like, he's a poor man's version of Debo, but he's like, he's built that way. He's a good player, but him and Baker, clearly not eye to eye. We noticed a couple weeks ago when Christian got hawked, like McCaffrey, you just can't have that many injuries doesn't to your lower same, body. Man. He's not the same guy. They're in major trouble, guy. I mean, they cannot score points, and the Niners don't give up any points. Could the Niners win this game like 13-0? I mean, it might not even take that much.
Shanahan just packs it in. The thing is, Baker will throw you the ball once or twice. Now, McCaffrey could still break one off on you, or DJ Moore could score a breakaway touchdown. But it does feel like the Niners defense in particular is on a mission. Now, it might just feel that way because they're a fantastic team, and that's what fantastic defenses look like. But I do think they got a taste of what might be the best defense in the league. You know what I mean? Like what it's like to be the best defense in the league. I think they got a little taste of it. And I think they're going to want more this week. And this is a BP fastball for them.
Yeah, I agree. This is, you got to take advantage of this momentum because it was pretty devastating on the Denver game. Like, guy, you lose a game 11-10. I mean, that's a kick in the nads. That was. Niners have had some devastating losses in the Shanahan era. That one, Did you call it the worst loss of the Shanahan era?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you could make the argument, you know, if Debo's touchdown was the best touchdown of the Debo
era. I also made that statement. And yeah. We could argue it, but I'm confident that, like, it's in the conversation.
You know, it's an arguable thing.
Yeah.
And that win was big. But now you got to keep the momentum because, listen, I don't even want to bring up the game after that because I think it's so easy, and you often do this in the NFL, like, because you can do it in college with good teams, right? Like win, win, win. This one's going to be tough. Win, win, win. In pros, you just cannot do that. But it's hard not to peek at Panthers, Atlanta, and not think 4-2 before. And then it's the Chiefs game. 4-2, because if you're 4-2 going to the Chiefs game, then it's like you're in great shape. The hard part is, I was texting someone about the Raiders. When you get below 500 a couple games as the season goes, to get in that 9-10 win range, you have to go on a 3-game winning streak, right? If you are 5-7, the only way to get to the playoffs is you got to win like 3 games in a row to then get to 8-7, right? And to have a chance to take advantage of the final whatever stretch of the season. When you build that little cushion, you can get to, I'll just pick a number, 6-3. You can have a devastating loss. And you know what it is? Not a devastating loss because you're 6-4. The numbers are on your side. Remember the Yankees earlier this season? They were having like the greatest season in Yankee history. And then they went on like that 2-week span where fucking Aaron Boone's hitting the dais and everyone's freaking out. But you know what? They were like 30 games above 500. So
they won the division.
I looked the other day, they're going to win 100 games.
Yeah. Did you look? I think they're like 7 or 8 games up in their division. They clinched the playoffs like a week ago.
You got to build little cushions in football. Like in college, it doesn't matter as much, right? Because for the teams that, you know, the 12-ish teams that want to go to the playoffs, there's one game and you're kind of derailed, right? And then you're just holding on for dear life. You can't lose again. In the pros, you know, it's why all these coaches say, listen, part of the evaluation process that's hard, you just never know. These guys coming from Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Michigan, they're just not used to losing. Appear like, we have awesome seasons. We lose 6 games, right? 11-6. Basically, how many teams in the league right now would sign up for 11-6? 30?
Yeah, I mean,
would the Niners sign up for 11-6 right now?
So they're 2-2. So that would mean you go, 9-4.
Like with the Eagles?
The Eagles was the team I was breathing about, wondering. Because they're
feels like the Packers in their division. Like if I'm the Packers, I think I can get 12. Division stinks.
Yeah, it wouldn't be great to go. If you're the Eagles, I think you feel like, let's go get 12 or 13 and like be the runaway. Get 13 and be the runaway one seed.
I would not sign up for 11-6 if I was the Eagles. If I was the Chiefs, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't if I was the Packers. If I was the Niners, I wouldn't heartbeat. 11-6, like I said, might win the division. But my point is to get to 11-6, you do got to get to the point where you are 6-3. Or 7-4, where you just have like, you lost some random game, you're 7-5, then you win the next week, you're 8-5, and you keep that buffer. And that's why last year, remember, it was 3-5, and it was like you're holding on to the rope for dear life, and then they won a couple games, and they barely got above it. I mean, they easily could have been 9-8 if fucking Jimmy doesn't have the 2-minute drive at the end of the Rams game, right?
Yeah, yep.
And 9-8 is now basically the new 8-8. 8-9, 9-8 to me are basically the same. It's the difference.
What's 7-9?
7-9 is probably the new 7-10.
Yeah, it's worse. It's not closer to 8-8. It's closer to 3 games under 500.
Yeah. Because I would say 8-9 is probably the difference in a fumble or a missed field goal when you really dive into it, right?
Without question.
Yeah.
Just watch the Lions.
And the same thing.
And they're probably not going to get to 8-9.
The Lions?
Yeah.
You can't get to 8-9 when your defense gives up 75 points a game.
When you give up 48 to Geno.
I still can't believe how confidently he tweeted that Jared Goff's better than Matt Stafford. Like I don't, he's not trolling or anything at all. He believes that to his core.
Well, you said for all you stats people, check the numbers, which, you know, the numbers is what's going to help Goff. The eye test is not ever going to help Goff in that argument. That's part of the deal, right?
He'd be like, don't check the tape. Look at the ESPN.com stats.
Well, it's not like the tape is great right now either.
No, it's Jared's tape's not terrible. It's just then do you factor in the context, right? Because I was thinking about this the other day. Like, what was I watching? Was it college? Like a sack, you know? A lot of guys in the league. Like, what makes Aaron Donald great is not the play where Burford and McGlinchey go opposite ways and he destroys untouched and he gets to Jimmy in the split second. Is that he's able to make plays like that when he's getting double teamed, right? Like, a lot of people can have production with no context. It's like, oh, he had 7 sacks. Well, 5 of them were unblocked. What makes Bosa so great is like 14 pressures, and he's getting double-teamed the majority of the game or chipped.
He's not sneaking up on anybody.
Well, it's like Micah Parsons, like every game. Well, who do you think all week the offensive coordinator is screaming about, right? 11, 11, 11. You play in the Niners, 97, 97, 97. And those guys, it's what makes a great player. It's like we cannot – throw an inside pitch to this guy. Like the only game plan is to try to get Mike Trout out, or, you know, we are going to corral Steph. They're all coming at you. Every single person. Like, listen, I like Juwan Jennings. And like, I think you said last night, he's more of a gamer than he probably is a practice player.
And he had a drop right after I said that, but
did, but like, you know, how often is he coming up during the week of the defensive in the defensive meetings?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's we'll do what we can with him, but our focus is going to be elsewhere.
It's like, yeah, if Draymond Green's going to hit some threes, we got to live with it because we can't just let fucking Steph Clay and Kevin Durant go off, right? Yeah.
There's a reason. I mean, but that's part of having a role. There's a reason that Juwan Jennings is open on big third down plays. But you watch those plays, he still has to go make a play. It's still not easy, right?
Well, for sure. But part of like ultimately, Debo and Ayuk and Kittle, like they are asked to produce, and the other team knows that ball's coming their way. When you're the third guy, you kind of get to fly under the radar, and then you get the opportunity and you got to make plays. And then eventually, because they're not going to be able to afford you, you go Kendrick Bourne and they sign you for more money to go play for the Patriots. I was watching Kendrick Bourne the other day. He made some plays. Like, you know, he's probably
just on that team.
He's probably a tweener. You know, it's probably 2.5.
First round rookie left tackle for the Panthers, John, who's given up 3 sacks this year. So we'll see.
Amenewu?
Ekwonu.
Ekwonu, yeah. Amenewu's on
no,
the
Panthers, right? Ekwonu.
NC State kid.
Yeah.
When did NC State become such a good football program? You watch any of that game? That was like kind of a war between those two teams for a long time.
Was that Clemson?
Clemson, NC State, yeah. It was the Herbstreit game.
Yeah.
You know, your boy, DJ's coming on.
Uyunglele?
He's playing. I mean, he's having a fantastic season.
I watched that game. I was like, you know what? Dabo's just sticking with him. I've heard, I know a guy who's pretty tied. He just says Dabo loves the guy. Dabo really wants to do right by DJ Uiagalelei, really likes him.
You see the tweet Dabo said last week after DJ, the Wake Forest game went to overtime, and DJ threw 6 touchdowns, the Wake Forest kid threw 5. You know, they was like, final score was like 50-48 or something. And Dabo said after the game, like, so fired up for DJ. And then he said, listen, I understand that everyone wanted to see whatever the kid's name is. He claimed that he said, listen, we've recruited a lot of great players to this program in my time. This guy might be the best recruit we've ever had.
Wow.
That's what he said about the quarterback.
Wow.
Clemson ain't going away, guy.
Wow. John, Tom and Giselle, according to Page 6, have each hired divorce lawyers, multiple sources say. I'm reading now. As previously revealed, the couple have been living separately for the past couple months after an quote-unquote epic fight. They're now apparently looking at dividing their multi-million-dollar empire, said one source. I'm sure a close personal friend or loved one of the Tom or Giselle. Never actually thought this argument would be the end of them, but it looks like it is. Imagine having...
What's the argument? Did it say what the argument is?
Well, I got to click on that link. Hold on. That's a link to a previous story about their quote-unquote epic fight. There's trouble. Pop-up. Model left the family compound in Tampa for Costa Rica following a series of heated arguments over Brady's shock decision to unretire from the NFL while he's remained behind for team training. So, you know, maybe some insight as to Tom's departure is, I think we kind of guessed during camp. Remember that? So, I, you know,
we have been on this for a long time because we listened to the Wickersham book. And I want to pull for you something I pulled a while ago. It was when I heard this, because I listened to the Wickersham book as you did. It's better to be feared. This was when I first realized something bad could happen as related to Tom's marriage affecting, you know, his career.
Seed. Brady and Bunchen drove home from the stadium in his black Ford pickup. The sun was low. It had been a long year, and as usual for the Patriots, it was just beginning, with the playoffs impending. Sitting next to each other, their minds were in different places. "Look at the moon," Bunchen said. "The moon is incredible." "I think we're supposed to play on Saturday night," Brady replied. She had a plan for New Year's Eve. After the kids were asleep, she wanted to start a fire and write a list of all the aspects of their 2017 lives to let go of and offer it to the fire. Brady quietly stared at the road.
Brady was not down with that plan.
I think when I heard that, on Saturday night.
He's thinking he just played, driving home. She's thinking about the moon and the fire. He's thinking about, like, we actually don't play on Sunday. I don't have as much time to get ready, right? That's in his mind. Like, part of Saturday night is like, right. I got to start my preparation. Got to get up a little earlier tomorrow. I got to get the cut-ups. I got to text the quality control guy to fire him in my iPad.
And you
got
to tell the family, I know we usually have a routine, but this week it's off. Because
I already feel behind.
Already feel, yes, anxious.
Do you think there's ever, honest to God, I don't think this is hyperbole, any player has ever truly loved their sport as much as Tom likes football? Because it's one thing to like love playing and stuff. I mean,
easy to say. Like Peyton physically could not keep up with his love, but when you watch him do this stuff, like he clearly, his love is very high.
But he never changed the diet quite like Tom did. Peyton always, you know, was a little lumpier.
Yeah, that's
true. Again, we are talking the highest level. Like doesn't drink, eats this weird food. Like he dedicated his life, and now he's given up his family for the sport of football. Like ultimately, he chose, and this is also assuming like
there's
they
a
still
lot
liked each other.
Yeah,
but it can't be argued he liked football more than Giselle, right? At this point,
it's also possible. Again, I don't. This is, you know, we have fun talking about Tom's career. It's sad people getting divorced, but
is it though? I mean, have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not. It's a hard time for him. I want to. He's a real person. You know, he had a stated long before they got married. It certainly, it was clear that Tom said he wanted to play a long time, right? And so I could see how if that became a sticking point for them, like, hey, this was part of the deal when you got here. Don't try and. There would be quite a bit of resentment if you try to get me to retire, which you and I both thought is what was happening.
A lot of sarcasm on the internet streets. Do you think he is more likely now to keep playing?
100%. Now, he does have the deal. He's supposed to be Fox's analyst next year. But here's the thing about that. Like, you're gone again, right? Being a Fox NFL analyst, remember that deal?
I forgot about that one.
And Burkhart and...
Didn't they give him $375 million?
They gave him a crazy amount of money. Burkhart and Greg Olsen are doing great. But that's what this... Now, I don't know if Tom intends...
Oh, does Olsen get demoted immediately?
Well, does Tom go to the number two crew, you think? So,
did we ever see the details of Tom's role?
Well, remember, I asked all these questions when it happened. Like, are we sure? And the stories were like, no, that's what he's going to do. So I'm still skeptical that that's how it's going to play out. But my point is just his idea of retirement is not retire and be home all the time.
Could he be on the Niners next year? It won't die. You know, his parents are getting older. Play a little cow club on the side with Steph. I don't think he'd like to live in California. I think he likes living in Florida, the tax advantages. And it's just where he lives is badass. There's doesn't quite Los Gatos ain't bring it up where his mansion on the water is looking like, but I do wonder if that comes back up. He's a free agent after this year, I think. Is he?
Well, he had 1 year left on his contract, right? He didn't change his contract. I think he is. This is year what, 3 for him in Tampa? He would have signed a 2-year deal initially, so maybe he does have actually another year on it.
Yeah.
Ali says he's a free agent.
Says he's a UFA in 23.
Okay, so he's a free agent.
He only makes $30 million this year. He's got to be the greatest deal in the history of life.
Definitely in the history of quarterbacks.
Kyler Murray's making 45. He's making 30.
And you think that's a bad deal?
I would say that I would rather have Tom for 30 than Kyler at I'd rather have Tom for 30 than Kyler at 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather have Tom for 30 basically than any quarterback beside like Mahomes. Like, I'd rather have Tom for 30 than Aaron for 50, wouldn't you? Because what I could do with the extra 20.
Yeah. I mean, some people might argue you just rather have Tom for 50 than Aaron for 50, even though Aaron's the MVP back-to-back.
Rather have Aaron for 50. Tom is a little more dependent. Another offensive line's banged up. I do think when you factor in the money, Tom's... I think Michael Jordan, his last year, 98, made 32 or something. How is Tom Brady never once has been like, can I just get like 48 this year? Never once.
Well, I mean, it's also factoring not just the money, but the level of teammate.
Someone tweeted at me, do you think Tom will get alimony?
Well, I did. When I was reading that, it did occur to me that is she richer than him? I don't know.
Would that be a win for men who have rich men? Obviously, if you know. I'm all for fair stuff. I don't understand why
either one of them has to pay the other one on this one.
Yeah, I can't. It's just law.
It may not be that. It might just be as simple as here's this house is yours, this house is mine.
You remember Mackenzie and Jeff had a pretty easy breakup. He's like, here's Mackenzie Bezos.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jeff, you know, he looks pretty happy.
did she give a lot of it away? Wasn't that the deal? Like, she did not care. I mean, obviously kept a lot still, but
yeah. You know, if you get $5 billion and you give two away, you still got three.
But now you can't buy the Broncos or the Cardinals or the Suns, you know.
True. Mackenzie's so flying under the radar.
All right, anything else to add today?
I'm just fascinated to watch single Tom. What happens?
On the field or off the field or both?
Do you think he gets asked about it tomorrow when he talks? It's weird, like... Shouldn't care, but they kind of transcend, don't they, their relationship? Or do you not ask quarterbacks for
that? I don't think so. Like, my guess is people who cover the team knew why he was gone, that he was gone for this reason, and they knew that, and that was just not going to be a part of it, was off the record or whatever.
I do wonder if, like, when he was trying to, I don't know, save his marriage, but just like, listen, I got to get away and figure this out. Are they mid-argument? And he's like, Alex is here. I gotta go train. We'll be back. We'll continue this in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Arians just showed up with some tape.
Well, do you think he trained those 10 days?
Yeah. I do.
I'd be fascinated to know the details of that hiatus. Did he just go out of respect? Like, listen, I'm done with her, but...
Well, it's probably so.
She done with him?
I think part of it, right, is you can't focus on... Like, you're trying to do your work, and you can't, because you're texting, you're calling, you just got to get it figured out. We just got to have a sit-down, as they say in the mob, you know?
That's what it was. Say, I can't. She's texting me. I'm fucking trying to watch cut-ups of third down. It's driving me nuts, you know? I got to get this third down package down. And she just won't stop blowing up my phone, Byron.
Leftwich is like, do what you got to do. We got, we got Trask, and we got that. Really, Tom, if you could make it back by week one, that'd be great.
I do think Tampa is the strip club capital of the world per capita.
Not to see Tom at the bottom.
No. I don't think Tom. You see Tom at the Blue Martini, but that's not a strip club. That's just a bar that I think Raheem Morris used to go to a lot when he was the head coach. It was a famous bar that just NFL people would frequent.
The Clevelander? I guess that's Miami.
Has there ever been a better example of Louis C.K.'s I'm here for the sex than just Tom Brady right now? Is he the most eligible bachelor in recent memory?
You listen to the book. I mean, with Tom Brady after his first Super Bowl. Tara Reid, remember that story?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was young in the heyday, but now.
And they just like come fly out for a date.
Don't you think the people coming at him, like the level, like back then it was just young, hot. Like now he's 45. He's a dad, sexy, kind of got the DILF thing going, but he's still got this young vibe. He's unlimited, like money just up the wazoo, fame right. level, cool. Everyone likes him. I mean, is this, is it one of the greatest catches of all time at 45? Just hit the open market?
So the top female CEOs in the world are Bezos, power couple, McKenzie.
You're saying McKenzie and Tom?
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, just seeing Tom's previous relationships, I don't know if she'd qualify. Like, you know, Jeff.
I was trying to think, what is the equivalent of like Britney Spears, but without the off court drama? Who is that person? Because that feels like someone who's like a, you know, not Christina Aguilera, like Madonna if she was younger, or like an actress that was huge in that, you know, in like the early 2000s. Or maybe like 8 years ago, like
who's the chick in Wolf of Wall Street? She's become
Margot Robbie.
I could see,
but currently she's huge. So yeah, I mean that's a little different than what we're talking about, but that would make sense.
Would you be shocked if I was like Tom spotted with Margot Robbie at a Miami hotspot?
No, that's a good. That I would not be shocked.
That's little a younger
profile than what I was talking about, but I don't think you can rule that out. Aniston.
Is Margot Robbie, God, Margot Robbie is a fox. Margot Robbie, she married or anything? I think she's single.
Yeah. Aniston? Older, yeah, too old.
I feel like Tom's going to go a couple years, like mid to late 30s. Like he,
but how old is Margot Robbie?
Like he's 32? Going like 24, Leo style.
How old
style?
Is Margot Robbie?
32, feels. Yeah.
That's wheelhouse right there.
Yeah, because women are all already like, whatever their age is, if they're 30, their maturity level often can easily click into like 10 plus years, where guys go the opposite way. She was Robbie dating a Rangers hockey player.
Sydney Sweeney.
Dated a director. Always I thought it said Steve Kerr. It said Sophia Kerr. I was like, God, she dated Steve Kerr.
Always dated a director. That's key.
I think Serena got married to one, right?
Well, no, he founded Reddit.
Oh yeah, that did. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You just got cash. You got more options.
You're Tom Brady. You have all the options.
Yeah, but like that guy that founded Reddit. Like, if he was just
had a little
shop, like he ain't married to Serena. Yeah, I know they're probably like legitimately in love or whatever. I know they have children, sure, but like, sure.
There's a level of trust that comes with finding someone as famous and as rich as you that they're not there to take advantage of you.
Even though she was this great tennis player, he literally just figured out this website where people just chat back and forth.
I think he's got some other businesses, but that's the one I'm aware of. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the cash cow business. Obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's worked.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see I'm rooting for Margot Robbie.
That's a good one. I'm rooting for him not to retire for several years. So this is all part of the sports landscape, you know. Margot at games. I mean, remember Jeter's run was, they were everybody, not everybody, the ones we knew of were very famous.
ESPN now would fire everyone alive if they tweeted this out. Remember when they tweeted out?
It was a SportsCenter feature.
Yeah.
They did it on SportsCenter, the starting lineup of all his girlfriends.
They couldn't even comprehend doing something like that now, could they?
No. Which, honestly, no. Yeah.
It's when the internet was great.
All right. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody. Mailbag coming up later in the week. And we'll see everybody live after that, also on Sunday as well.
Later. Get it, Tom.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.